This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Former 24/7 champion, Peter Rosenberg.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Bear, I'm doing a show. Turkey, ducky, turkey, ducky.
That's great.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Oh, hello, everyone, and welcome to ENN.
On TV.
Tonight, it's brought to you by our friends over at DoorDash. Download the DoorDash app now and start exploring some of the best New York has to offer. DoorDash, get more from your neighborhood. I'd like to start off, if I can, by saying good evening to Michael.
You can't look away, Lionel!
I'd like to say good evening to Don.
Weirdo.
Me or Rick?
Both of you.
I'd like to say good evening to myself. Fierce turtle. And I believe I'd like to say good evening to Michael.
Oh, stop it, Mahatma Gandhi.
You know, you can tell when you hear the drops back that Michael clearly has the best sound of the three of us.
You think so? You have the best camera.
That's for sure. But
you look so good.
Thank you. But we do radio, so it's a good win for you that you have the listen to that Mahatma Gandhi drop. How clean you sound, Michael.
Oh, stop it, Mahatma Gandhi.
Sounds live.
Not Memorex.
It's beautiful. So last night, while the Knicks were busy being terrible, Desmond Bane of the Grizzlies had a little run-in with the Knicks' most ornery player, Julius Randle. And Bane went on with Freddie and Fitz earlier and talked about what happened with him and Julius.
I mean, you know, we're in a huddle. It's late game, you know, and he just walks right into our huddle. You know, I don't like that. You know, it's just a part of professionalism and some things that, you know, you don't do. You know, I used to do that stuff when I was in middle school and high school, but, you know, we grown now. So, I mean, I had to get him up out of there, you know, regardless, pick me up, whatever. But ain't nobody walking in our huddle like that.
I don't get what Randle was doing.
It was odd.
And Walt Frazier was really angry. Walt tells the truth, man. It's not like, you know, I'm the Knick announcer. I'm always going to support the Knicks. He said, you can't do that. You just can't do that. You can't go in somebody's huddle.
Odd decision, though. I mean, everyone knows that.
He's been odd all year. The choices he's made, very odd.
Jay Will was on DiPietro and Rothenberg earlier.
Rick was naked during the show.
Right. I don't know if Jay Will would have went on the show if he knew that, but he says the Grizzlies are actually what the Knicks want to be.
Who are individuals that fit the brand of what New York basketball should be? Like the Memphis Grizzlies are exactly who the Knicks should be. Like that team is how the Knicks should be. And I'm just not talking about Ja Morant, guys. Like Rick and Dave, I'm talking about the damn mentality. I'm talking about Desmond Bane, a young player in the league, when Julius Randle, for who the hell knows what reason, walks into their huddle, says, get the hell out of here, man. Desmond Bane talking trash to LeBron James. Like, there is a grit. There is a mentality, a fight to this young basketball team that every Knick fan wishes was imprinted on their team. Now, granted, it starts from the top down with leadership. It starts from a guy like Ja Morant. But, man, like, that culture is drastically different than the culture that I see with the Knicks organization. And that's so telling about how far these two organizations are apart from each other.
Jay Will also, though, went on to say that there could be a fit for the New York Knicks, and it might be a man named Russell Westbrook.
Who are individuals that fit the brand of what New York basketball should be? Like the tough, hard nose, plays every damn possession, and you're like, okay. Like to a lesser degree, De'Aaron Fox, okay. Like Dame obviously would fit. But like to tell you, honestly, like Russell Westbrook will be incredible here. I mean, I think he would own it. I think he would want other players to come play with him. The question is, you know, it's almost like Giannis. Like Russell needs a team to be built around him. And frankly, I don't think it's going to be able to work for him in LA. I think him and LeBron are way too similar. I don't think they have the right personnel to be surrounded with him. But if you are a New York Knicks fan and you think a guy like Russell can change the dynamic of your team, which I think he could, I'm not saying everybody would love it, but that would be a guy that would want to be here. And I want players that want to be here.
I don't know, guys. I don't disagree. I think that there are a lot of fits where I would say, I don't think Russell Westbrook's the move. But in this specific case where you have a team that's floundering and you really don't want to have this year be completely wasted, plus, Michael, the arguments you made around salary, it could be a really smart play for them.
I think the salary aspect is the biggest part. He's not going to be here when they win a championship, but if you can get Julius Randle off the books, and somebody on Twitter said, you always say that salary space is air. True. I agree, but you don't give up. You have to have salary space to have the ability to even make trades and maybe even have the ability to sign somebody. I don't think you move heaven and earth, but since you've already established that Julius Randle looks like he's not going to be worth the money over the next 4 years, if you could move him in a deal and get a top-flight player like Westbrook, and you're only committed to him through next year, and then you open up $47 million in cap space, I think you have to do it.
Because that's what you got to find a star. This has nothing to do with the style of play. The Knicks got where they got, yes, because they played ferocious defense, but mainly it was because Randle played like a star. They can't be Memphis because they don't have Morant. So you can bring in, let's play like the 90s Knicks did. Let's be tough on defense. All right, but where's your star? You thought you had it, now you don't. How do you get that star? And you do it by what Michael said, trying to structure contracts so that you can least fit somebody in. Style.
Let's move over to Brooklyn for a moment. Ugh. Yeah, it's not great over there either. Lost to the Kings last night. Jim Harden, Kyrie Irving, not really in the zone right now. And James Harden was asked, does this team need a players-only meeting?
No, I think we've done too much talking. I think we've done too much talking. It's just we got to go out there and do it and do it consistently. You know, we have times where we're great and we have times where we're really bad. And we just got to find some consistency throughout the course of games, more times than not.
It's hard to be consistent when you actually have a different lineup sort of by choice on a nightly basis. That is a tough thing there. He's also asked, is he concerned with how the team is playing generally?
Man, you got some questions I have. I mean, how many games we play so far? There's no concern. We don't, like, we have different lineups. We got guys in and out of lineups, injuries, whatever. Like, it's no concern. Like, we don't have our entire team, and then, you know, we're doing this is happening to us. Like, we're just trying to figure out what works best, what guys fit, what guys don't. I mean, it's all the process. So, obviously, we're going through a tough stretch where we're losing. You know, it'd be great if we can, you know, win some of these games while going through that process, but, you know, we're not. So, with that being said, we got to just keep finding ways with the guys in a lot of lineups. And then hopefully, you know, just finish this until the break. And then hopefully, you know, after the break, we can potentially get our full roster and start making strides in the right direction.
So, not only are you dealing with injuries and you dealt with COVID, and now Aldridge is out with an ankle, Durant's out. With a knee, over the next 8 games, Kyrie is out 7 of them because he can't play at home. And, you know, it's not subtle, but what Harden's saying is, well, how do you expect us to win? You can't have that lack of continuity and build a team that plays together in the right way. You just simply cannot. And I think that that's what's really, really gnawing at James Harden. He didn't sign up for this. He didn't know this whole Kyrie thing was going to take place. Last year, Kyrie just disappeared for a while. We don't even know why. We still don't know why. Because he couldn't handle, you know, social issues or whatever. Again, it was never really, really clear. He has every right, and he just walked away. And this year, do you think James Harden thought there was going to be a vaccine problem? This is not why he played his way out of Houston. So unless there's some miraculous epiphany where Kyrie plays every game and Kevin Durant comes back healthy and Joe Harris comes back healthy and they win a championship, I think Harden's as good as gone.
The Nets currently sitting in the sixth spot at 29-22 with 31 games remaining. Just 3.5 games separates them from the number one seed in the East. So, like, it's not like they don't have the ability potentially to finish this year strong, but it has not been great recently. 3-7 in their last 10. That's 6 straight losses for the Nets.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We mentioned this earlier, but guys, now I have some audio. Former female employees of the Washington Commanders met with a subcommittee in Congress today to talk about their treatment at the hands of upper management in Washington. Let's hear from Tiffany Johnston, who is describing advances from Dan Snyder.
I learned on one specific occasion that when I was asked by my boss to attend a networking event, to dress cute, it was actually an orchestration by him and Dan Snyder to put me in a compromising sexual situation. I learned that placing me strategically by the owner at a work dinner after this networking event was not for me to discuss business, but to allow him, Dan Snyder, to place his hand on my thigh under the table. I learned how to discreetly remove a man's unwanted hand from my thigh at a crowded dinner table at a busy restaurant to avoid a scene. I learned that job survival meant I should continue my conversation with another coworker rather than to call out Dan Snyder right then in the moment. I also learned later that evening how to awkwardly laugh when Dan Snyder aggressively pushed me towards his limo with his hand on my lower back, encouraging me to ride with him to my car. I learned how to continue to say no, even though a situation was getting more awkward, uncomfortable, and physical. I learned that the only reason Dan Snyder removed his hand from my back and stopped pushing me towards his limo was because his attorney intervened and said, Dan, this is a bad idea, a very bad idea, Dan. I learned that I should remove myself from Dan's grip while his attorney was distracting him.
And it went on from there. That was probably the most serious allegation directly at Snyder, but there were other stories that were very troubling as well. Snyder responded and says, while past conduct at the team was unacceptable, the allegations leveled against me personally in today's roundtable, many of which are well over 13 years old, are outright lies. I unequivocally deny having participated in any such conduct at any time and with respect to any person. Tanya and I will not be distracted by those with a contrary agenda from continuing with the positive personnel and cultural changes that have been made at the team over the past 18 months and those that we continue to make both on and off the field. Guys, there's a few things that are really hard for me about this. Number one, in his statement, this just always strikes me when people say this, you're denying it. You're saying while past you're denying it. Why throw in many of which are well over 13 years old?
I thought the same thing.
I never know. Why are you saying? Essentially, you're saying, why are you bringing up old stuff?
Right.
If it's not true.
What it's also doing is that, if it was such a problem, why didn't you bring it up then? Why are you waiting 13 years later?
Because
that's the old gag of a way to try to devalue the allegation.
Because if it didn't happen at all, it doesn't matter when the allegations are from. Furthermore, the fact that you have to start with while past conduct at the team was unacceptable and talking about all the ways you're trying to change, there's already such an admission of awful, awful culture that he knows he has to say is true. How can you believe someone when they say, but none of these things about me are true?
Well, here's what I've been saying the last couple of days. People now lie with such ease. So let's look at those two statements, right? So either the young lady is lying through her teeth or Dan Snyder is lying through his teeth. Somebody is lying with zero compunction. It's just the way of the world right now. And I love when people, once they get him over under oath, people lie under oath too. Yeah, you're risking perjury charges, but people lie all the time. They don't have a problem with it. They have no soul.
Here, and by the way, you're talking about someone who, frankly, guys, has zero credibility. And I will say I watched three of the women talking. Those were very impressive, credible-sounding people with a lot of detail and a lot of confidence and passion about this subject. So, Don, I'll ask you. I was saying earlier, I feel like that maybe this step to having these conversations in Congress could lead to actual real discipline. Because so far, it's pretty amazing. One statement I saw This was Emily Applegate. When the investigation of the air pressure of Tom Brady's football concludes with a 200-plus page report, but the investigation into two decades of sexual harassment concludes with nothing, it shows the NFL's complete lack of respect towards women, their employees, and our culture as a country. I don't know, Don, could this be the beginning of, like, actual consequences, potentially?
Well, it should be, right? But it's an old boy network, and as Michael said, you know, Roger Goodell's under the same pressures that Manfred is. He works for these guys. This is one of the people that employs him. It depends on how much support he gets. That's why the other owners have to step up and say, this can't be tolerated.
But the weird part is that Snyder has some, like, cavorka over the other owners, especially Jerry Jones.
Well, see, here's the issue that exists, okay? And this is why 13 years ago gets thrown out. It gets thrown out there by Snyder because he's trying to devalue her for taking so long to come out. What it also does is say, hey, that was a different time. And I'm sure he wasn't the only owner that was probably doing this. So, yeah, you're right. So is Snyder going to take people with him? If he's forced to sell the team because of this, is he going to start blowing the whistle
right
on other, you know, because, listen, they all have checkered pasts. You look back to Jerry Jones with the White House back in the day where players were doing drugs and God knows what to women in a house that was owned by the Dallas Cowboys, right? There's those allegations. You know, the what was the bus thing with the Dallas Cowboys, too? I mean, like, there's so many things that once you open up Pandora's box, how many other owners are going to – so will they shut their mouth or support him so other allegations don't come out?
We shall see. Speaking of allegations, John Elway has responded to the Brian Flores lawsuit. And pretty strong response. I took Coach Flores very seriously as a candidate for our head coaching position in 2019, and I enjoyed our 3.5-hour interview with him. Along with the rest of our group, I was prepared, ready, and fully engaged during the entire interview as Brian shared his experience and vision for our team. I interviewed Brian in good faith, giving him the same consideration and opportunity as every other candidate for our head coaching position in 2019. Everyone's fallen into line. And we're not getting anything that's a surprise so far. Every single thing is just being outright denied up and down. So we'll see where this lands.
That's why I don't feel good about this lawsuit. I mean, ultimately being won, because when it came out, I said, there's got to be proof. It can't be John Elway against Brian Flores' word. Can't be.
This really goes to, like, you know, you think about, like, watching movies where, like, a really impressive, like, trial movie. This really goes to where, like, great lawyers would earn their money, right?
Mm-hmm.
Really coming, really finding the stuff, the witnesses, the right subpoenas, and getting this story out there if it's, in fact, true. Aaron Rodgers to Tennessee?
Huh?
Report came out earlier that he bought property in a Nashville suburb. That's according to 102.5 The Game.
Oh, this has the whole reek. It reeks of Peyton Manning owns a house in Miami. He's going there.
Yeah,
so
by the way, Nashville's
property in Tennessee.
Yeah, Nashville's a very popular place to buy property right now. So
Tom Brady was coming to the Giants because he bought an apartment in Manhattan. Remember that one?
Oh, it's sickening.
I like that I saw a headline yesterday that said Tom Brady chooses a Miami over Boston. I was like, what? Who said that was a consideration?
Did you see, Peter, I don't know if you have it in ENN, Bill Belichick taking the unbelievably high road?
I don't have that here. Please tell me.
Oh. He released a statement yesterday through the Patriots, singing the praises of Tom Brady. He's the greatest player in the history of the National Football League. A long statement, glowing, as if to say, not going to thank me? Here you go.
That's how you took it?
Of course that's how you take it. Everything is tit for tat in the world.
But didn't Tom have a tweet today with all the Patriot highlights and everything?
A lot of Patriot highlights in there. It was almost all Patriot highlights.
Well, what would you say about him? The hamstrings better be strong? Well, I mean, when you have a 22-year
nice
career.
Nice backpedal. Hamstrings must be pretty strong after that.
And 20 of them with the Patriots. I'd say most of the highlights should be with the Patriots in six
Fair
of
point.
The seven Super Bowls.
Fair point. But, Don, you know what happened earlier? The unfortunate part is Belichick wrote this entire glowing thing about Brady, accidentally texted it to Jimmy G. So, unfortunate. Jimmy goes, coach, I think you mean the other quarterback. Rest in peace to Hall of Fame coach Bill Fitch, who coached the Celtics to a championship in 1981 with Larry. Legend. He was 89 years old. Two-time NBA Coach of the Year. Was named the top 10 coaches of all time list back when the NBA did its 50 greatest.
Did you cover the Nets then, Michael, when he was there?
No. When I was there, it was Dave Wall.
When were you there?
Let's see. I started covering baseball toward the end of 86. So I think it was 85.
Okay. Because Bill was there, what, like early 90s, right?
Yeah, and I'll tell you, 91. The team I covered was great. I mean, fun. Daryl Dawkins, Mike Jaminski, Otis Birdsong, Michael Ray Richardson. Mm. It was a good team. And it was going to do damage in the playoffs, but then Richardson fell off the wagon in December, and that was it.
Lastly, the NBA unveiled their reimagined Kobe Bryant trophy for the Kia All-Star Game MVP. It's very cool. It sort of has specific homage to Kobe within the trophy. That will do it for ENN on this Thursday evening. Wow. It's brought to you by Hennessy. Enjoy delicious Hennessy NBA cocktail while watching the game. Try the Hennessy Playmaker or the Triple Double, both made with Hennessy VS. Go to Hennessy.com for drink recipes. Hennessy, spirit of the NBA. Always enjoy Hennessy responsibly.
What a tremendous ENN.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, so we'll take some phone calls. Now, do we have the big fella on today?
Oh, sure.
Oh,
wow.
I haven't talked to him in a long
time.
The next
2 days.
Yeah.
I miss him.
He's the only guy that doesn't want Nick basketball or Ranger hockey. And
yeah.
The Rangers, they're in the All-Star break now, so we might get more of the big fella.
I think we're getting a lot. Have
you Kayla Greca, Rosenberg, soon. Chris Carlin and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.